And welcome back. This is the Avalon Pending Podcast. This week we'll be talking about our Kickstarter coming to us from Josh. We'll talk about a game called Star Citizen, or at least the alpha stuff. It hasn't gotten past alpha yet. We are going to talk a little bit about PAX, with more to come next week. Since it's Labor Day, well, you know, tomorrow, but today is Labor Day. We will talk a little bit about it and sales of games and whatnot that come with that day. And then finally, we will cover episode 2 of Doctor Who, Into the Dalek. Today, I am joined by Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Steve? It's Into the Dalek, not Dalek.
But Dalek. That's fine. I don't care. So. Brian is at PAX this weekend, so next week we'll get a more in-depth, thing from him about PAX and everything that happened and what he thought of the games and whatnot. Come pod with us.
Yeah.
So, Josh, what you been up to? You're never on anymore.
I am on, just not a lot. I'm playing a lot of Civ 5 lately, some modded Civ 5.
Yeah, that game, it comes and goes, doesn't
yes,
it?
Well,
sometimes
it
you feel like it, sometimes you know. It's I mean, always there, though.
I've got 160 hours played into it, so it's
nice.
A fun game, and it's a good game to when you're in the mood to play something like that. I'm really looking forward to the next part of it coming out in October, the space part, or Civ.
Yeah.
Out into space, or whatever it is.
Cool.
Yep.
So you know that picture I linked you earlier?
About the virgins?
Yes, the official virgin age meter.
Mm-hmm.
There's. Do you know about that?
No, I didn't.
Meme. It's so pretty much how it goes, is this is what it is. It's an internet myth saying that if a person manages to still be a virgin at the milestone age of 30, he will attain magical powers on the level of a highly skilled wizard.
Wow.
And I'm bringing this up because my birthday is Wednesday, because it's usually right around Labor Day, and I'll be 29. So one more year, and I'll be a wizard.
And you want to out yourself like that? Unfortunately, if I would have known about this when I was 13, I would be a wizard, but I didn't.
Oh, so let's see if I can hold out.
I don't know. Might not be worth it.
Well, if something comes up, I'm not going to not do it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's going to be in the back of my head. So I thought that was funny. I just wanted to mention that.
I didn't want to out you like that on our podcast, but if you're going to do it yourself.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it makes it more interesting. Makes us feel more human inside.
But we're not.
Right there. Well, what's our Kickstarter this
our
week,
Our Kickstarter,
Josh?
Since we've been...
Go link it.
We've been all fangirling about...
I see.
Yeah, all about virtual reality, and I figured this would be a cool take that was a company. Of course, I'm already on the bottom of the page.
Perception
Neuron, yeah. It's their new motion capture VR and VFX. It's
specifically, it's called Project Perception Neuron, Motion Capture VR and VFX, just in case for those who are looking for it on Kickstarter.
It's got a $250,000 goal with 12 days to go, and they're already at $280,525 with 740 backers.
So and, they just got over that then. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And it is great. I mean, if you watch the video, it's really smooth and really good for... This is going to be good in a lot of industries, from gaming to new motion capture for movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
Instead of wearing those big balls on your head, this records it all with gyroscopes, magnetometers.
Right. It has to be as good as those balls. Because as stupid as those balls look, the cameras that are capturing them are so precise that it, you know. So hopefully the technology like this is as equally as...
I mean, they could have, they had a video, of course it's an Asian company, so they're doing Kung Fu, they had a video of the recording of the Kung Fu next to the VR, or the rendering, and it was pretty fluid, it looked pretty good. I don't know much about how the movies would look, so I may be completely wrong, but it's really lightweight, and comes with how many little boxes?
Well, the guy's hand shows 6 of them in his hand.
Yeah, I think it's 9. So it comes with 9 sensors.
Yeah, and you just put those around your body?
You can put those on your hands, so you can just do specific hand motions and stuff like that, or you can put them all around your body to record, like, more I guess, rigid maybe motions.
Right.
Not as fine.
And you could always, I imagine you can always buy more if you're doing something more in depth.
Well, yeah, you probably could. And then they're really small and lightweight, 12
probably
millimeters
like, what, stick
by
on
6
with Velcro
millimeters.
Or something, or a pin, or however they stick on.
Yeah, I think they come with a Velcro, or they do come with a Velcro attachments and everything.
Right.
And it's all run wirelessly into a receiver, or it's got a transceiver and a receiver, so it just runs wirelessly, so you're not connected to any cables or anything like that.
That's good.
And it looks like it goes around the belt. But
yeah.
I figured it would be great for great for the virtual reality, definitely, because that's coming more and more with Oculus Rift and PlayStation and whatnot. It actually looks like these guys are using the Oculus. But
yeah, for just the front picture, it looks like it's the Oculus.
Mm-hmm. And it comes with a set of games with it, from basketball can shooting to hit the cans or hit the gongs. And
so I guess the question is, I'm looking at the stuff here, and they show a lot of it for motion capture for projects. They don't show a lot for gaming. So is it meant more for playing games, or is it meant more for like creating games and art and stuff?
It's meant more for motion capture, but it's USB connected to your computer. They focus more on the motion capture because that would be more fine and like fine-tuned compared to just a virtual reality glove for gaming. But they're also making it for gaming, so it's going to be even more fine-tuned for the game itself.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've showed their videos with their games and with motion capture.
Man, it looks good then.
It does. I'm excited about it. It'll be fun playing some kind of maybe like, I saw a new Steam game where I think it's like Blood Wizard or something like that, where all it is just casting ridiculous spells. That'd be cool to kind of mix with this, to link your, and do like hand motions and like your fingers all change the spells and whatnot. That would be pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. So let's see, we got pledges here. $5 or more, you get list your name, but it doesn't matter. They got 37 backers in the $5, so a lot of people are just wanting to make sure it gets up and going. Five backers for 25, 8 backers for 30. You got 100 backers for 175, and I think, you actually get the actual thing.
That was their
you get
limited
the neuron
time.
Package, you get the hub, you get the gloves and straps and all that good stuff.
Yep. But now it's $200 for the 10 neuron package. It used to have the 100 limited special, but $200, but it's an extra $25, and you get this. If you already got the Oculus Rift, I mean, you're already there.
Right, that's 51 backers. They got 100 backers in the 340. Oh, it's a 20 neuron package. Okay, that's probably why.
Yeah.
That's probably like developers and stuff that are trying to get that package. Let's see. We got 122 backers in that one. 100 backers and $500 or more. 30 neuron package. Why on earth? Yeah, unless you're doing movies, there's no reason to get that many.
Or the Zillionaires combo. 4,950. A 30
dual
neuron,
30 neuron package.
That's a 300 neuron package.
Yeah.
But
here
we go.
I
was looking.
2,500 studio/class combo. So this one's probably meant for
that's 150.
Like, actual. This is 2,500.
No, $2,500, but it's 30 neuron package times 5, so that's 150.
Oh, okay,
neuron.
So it's meant for like a lot of people, like a group of people or whatever. All right.
And for
$8,000.
What's
the biggest one?
You get the 30
the
neuron.
Biggest one. 8,000.
Yep.
Visit us in China. Get a 30 neuron package. Round trip ticket to China, business class, and a 3-day accommodation. Ah, that's pretty good. Like, because that's like, let's see, 3-day accommodation, round trip to China. That's at least like 1,500 of that pledge right there just to pay for you to go.
Yeah. But cool. I was looking, I think the price is around. I'm going to find it.
Yeah, it said 150? No, 175.
Yeah, $175.
Depending on what you're getting. Yeah.
Which is pretty good. I mean, I feel like, looking from like a not virtual reality perspective, $175 for a controller essentially is kind of crazy. But the fact that into virtual reality now.
It would depend on the game though. Like if it's like, you know, like with EverQuest Next coming up, and they're saying that they're going to have virtual reality incorporated somehow. If they were to incorporate it in such a way that, you know, you were wearing something like this, it could actually like, you know, completely take over the character. That would be cool.
And that'd be awesome with the Omni treadmill and everything.
Yeah, that would make, though, That would make, oh my gosh, that would make, like, fighting and stuff, like, you actually have to fight.
Yeah, it'd be
instead
it'd be
of
awesome.
Just pushing a button. Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. There'd be a lot of people that would quit because they suck.
And then there's even gamers would be in shape.
Yeah. And then, well, the ones that cared enough to do it, the rest would still be like, fuck it, I'm using a keyboard.
But then there's even, this is in the same package, but they've got it's like a vest you can wear that it vibrates to where, like, if there's an explosion.
Oh, if you get hit?
Yeah, when
or,
you take
yeah,
hits, you feel
oh,
it.
That's cool.
So
yeah,
this mixed
is,
with
this is cool.
The other two things would be awesome.
Yeah. Are they going to, so they show wires and stuff in the thing. Is the final version, is it all going to be wireless communicating with each other? So all you wear is like the gloves and like the belt?
Yeah, the final version, everything's going to be wireless.
So there won't be wires going from each spot to the next? There'll just be like an arm strap here, an arm strap there, a headband there, some gloves, a belt, you know, things
like
that.
Yeah, the one with the wires is their prototype. All the little neurons are going to be wireless and sent to the main hub, which is connected through a USB.
Cool. So, I mean, you have to put on some stuff, but who cares? You know, if you're going to be sitting there gaming for a couple hours and...
Exactly.
You know, or working out even. Like, this is going to be good for working out stuff.
Yeah,
virtual reality is going to be interesting for workout games and stuff. Because so far, you know, the workout games, they show you something and you see your character running and you're keeping up with it with, like, whatever thing on you to keep up with your heart rate. But these
like
are going to be like...
penis.
Yeah. But this, you actually get to see the world from your perspective. Mm-hmm. And how much you're actually moving makes how much you move in the game. Like, it's going to be like 1-to-1. It's going to be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this started August 8th and it ends September 12th.
Yep.
Cool. Anything else? What's this 300,000 stretch goal thing they're talking about here?
Where is that?
Near the top.
You know how to navigate these a lot better than I do. Huh.
Get a rumbler for tactile feedback or a shutter for wireless mocap control? I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
Does it mean like a rumbler? So maybe like that the rumbler in the hands will actually rumble for tactile feedback so you feel like you're touching something?
Oh, that might be,
slightly.
Yeah. I don't know what the shutter would be, but...
It looks like the shutter might just be a control. So you can just have something in your hand to click.
I think the rumbler would be worth it. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
feeling
the rumbler would be cool, yeah. Like, it almost makes it feel like you're touching something because it's of a slight vibration in the tip of your finger.
Yeah, it'd probably be individual rumblers in every separate neuron.
Right. Yeah, that could be cool. Cool, so yeah, if you want to go check this out, it's on Kickstarter, Project Perception Neuron, motion capture VR and VFX by Team Perception/Neuron. And, yeah, they got 741 backers. They're at 280,000. They got 12 days to go, so go check it out. Cool. What's next? Our game of the week.
Yeah.
You know a little bit more about this game than I do. What is the game of the week, Josh?
Star Citizen. It's hopefully going to be one of the best games to come out next year. If it does come out next year, they're pretty bad on their goals. But it's a huge game.
yeah, true. But they got a lot of money, so they should be able to handle it now. They should be able to hire extra people.
Oh, what, do they got $50 million just in backers?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's hopefully going to bring a rebirth to the space sim.
Right. Well, give us a little description of it. What's this game about?
It's just the space sim, honestly. I mean... You can think of doing it, you can do it. It's a player-run economy, player-run just about everything. You could be a cop or a pirate. You can steal another player's ship and go hide it somewhere, and they'll be out of a ship entirely and out of any way to travel.
Right.
Honestly, we could do a whole episode on this show.
Well, we kind of are. This is our game of the week. I got a description off of Wiki, so I'm going to go ahead and read that. All right. It gives a lot of information. Star Citizen is an upcoming space trading and combat simulator video game for Microsoft Windows and Linux, which is nice that they included Linux specifically. You don't see that very often.
No, but you're
like
starting
that,
to see it more
that
and more.
That is very cool. Like, fuck you, Mac. Star Citizen will consist of two main components, first-person space combat, first-person shooter elements, and trading in a massively multiplayer persistent universe, and customizable private servers, and a branching single-player and drop-in cooperative multiplayer campaign titled Squadron 42.
And
the game is built... Go on.
The campaign is just basically the tutorial. You do the campaign, or you can opt out of it if you make a new character.
Yeah.
But the campaign's campaigns just a tutorial getting you used to the combat and the lore. Yeah. And
sometimes
that.
You get some stuff in campaigns. You get that's how you get your ship. Doing them. Yeah. The game is built on a modified CryEngine and will feature Oculus Rift support, which is going to be fucking amazing.
Yes.
I don't know if it needs, you know, the thing we just talked about a second ago. I don't think the Oculus needs all the movement tracking stuff for this game.
It might be cool.
I feel like it's going to be more about the spaceships and stuff, so you're not necessarily going to need to be able to reach out your hand and do stuff.
Yeah, that'd probably be a whole new update for them, though, because that's probably a whole new programming. They'd have to build the game around the motion capture, too.
Right, which we haven't seen yet. I'm waiting for a game to actually build around virtual reality and make it purely for virtual reality. That will be a game to see.
Well, this, honestly, could be purely virtual reality, aside from the motion capture, because...
It is all first person, so it is possible.
It is all first person, and if you got your badass joysticks that I was looking at with your Oculus Rift...
Really get into it, yeah.
It'd be a perfect sim.
Where was I? The game is... Both Star Citizen and Squadron 42 are set in the 30th century Milky Way, centered around the fictional UEE, United Empire of Earth, an analog of the late Roman Empire. A central theme of the game is citizenship, or lack thereof, which must be earned through player actions, such as completing a period of military service. It is anticipated citizens will enjoy certain in-game benefits, for example, paying a reduced tax rate or having easier access to interspecies trades, but the exact details are yet to be determined. A strong focus will be placed on player interaction, with the player behavior influencing and being influenced by a dynamic economy system. And it's being developed by Chris Roberts, Cloud Imperial Games.
He's actually produced some movies, too, some space movies. One of them being Wing Commander. That was actually a movie, believe it or not. These are all games you might have played, Steve. They're a little out of my age range.
Maybe. It's been a while, but maybe. So let's see. So that's pretty much the game in a nutshell. But since the game hasn't gotten past alpha, we're going to go ahead and just talk about some of its alpha features that we played, which is pretty much just the hangar and the other thing. What was that called?
The hangar module and the arena commander module, which is still not fully operational yet. They're just pushing it out to make their... $50 million backers happy.
Right. So yeah, let's go ahead and talk about those a little bit. So the hangar's cool. I wish there was more to do in there, but obviously it's not done yet.
To be honest, both you and I subscribe to the cheapest ship and cheapest hangar. The more you spend, the bigger
the
ship.
Bigger ship, then the bigger hangar, and you get to see more of the ships and stuff.
Three or four different classes of hangars, from business to luxury to...
Depending on the size ship you own.
Yeah, or how many ships you own. Like, if you own, like, 10 of the same ship, you'll probably be in a luxury class hangar.
Gotcha, just because of the room and the space in general. I gotcha.
And there's stuff you can do in it, like you can get on your ship and look around it. And granted,
it's not much of a ship, but...
Well, it's a starter ship, and we were going to pay like $300 for a smaller version of...
Not unless we knew the game was, going to come out sooner.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something I wouldn't want to do. I wouldn't want to spend, like, $200 on a ship that I could earn in-game with in-game credits.
Right.
That would just feel more fulfilling to buy the Freelancer, which is a ship that's my goal ship right now.
Yeah.
A lot like the Firefly ship.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how it's gonna end up working with the economy and stuff. Since you can buy ships with real money, I wonder if you'll be able to sell ships for real money.
That was a big issue they were having. There was a quote unquote gray market among the users, and people were selling ships and actually making money off of it. So they actually stopped letting people trade ships. I think there's like a 40-day or a 30-day wait period till you can trade or give ships to somebody else.
Right.
Actually, yeah, that's what they did. They did a 30-day waiting period to slow down the gray market because people were buying tons of ships and then just selling them off and auctioning them off.
Maybe they should think about just implementing that into the system. It's a bad example, but Second Life, you can spend real money in that game, or you could just do stuff in-game and actually make real money from your designs and stuff that people will purchase.
And I'm not sure go ahead.
No, it's to make that kind of economy where, you spend all this time in-game and stuff, and, you get a new ship or something, or you even steal one, but that would be harder to sell. But, you buy a new ship, you customize it up, and then you can sell it for, money.
Yeah, but I feel like...
If that were an option, then the $200 would be more like, well, you know, I can make that money back or whatever. Over.
Yeah, I feel like that. I don't know if they're going to take away the
trading completely.
I don't know if they're going to take it. There will be trading. Like, you can buy used ships on a hole in the wall planet somewhere, and they're beat to shit and they're cheaper. But I think they'll take away the player purchasing of ships. I know they've talked about it. I'm not sure though. I feel like they should, or they can make it like there's.
Feel like it'll make it if you keep that kind of stuff in, then it'll make it more of a game that people want to actually dedicate time to. Because it's not just a game then anymore. It actually affects your real life at that point.
Yeah,
that's going to make people more interested in a game.
But then again, it's not really a pay-to-win situation. I mean, yeah, you could pay
to not really paying to win. Like, yes, you could pay and buy, like, a super nice ship, but it could also be stolen out from underneath your feet a second later and sold in the black market.
Exactly, especially if your hull insurance expires.
Right, so, you know, it's definitely that kind of thing where, you know, it's just, it depends on how you play, and some people might be screwed and other people's might not. And it's just like how it is in the real world.
Yep,
but exactly. I'm going too long on that, though.
No, I don't know. I mean, that's a really big thing of how realistic this game is going to be. Like, there's taxes.
Right.
You have to pay to fuel up your
ship. It seems really cool, but I don't want to spend, you know, decades inside that game if I'm not getting too much out of it, even though it's cool as it is.
Well, I've spent decades inside games before, and I'm sure you've spent close to it,
too. I have. The difference is, like, at least with EverQuest, I had the community, and that's what made me play more than anything else.
Exactly.
Because I did, like, a lot of in-game roleplay, which, you know,
but this
Brian doesn't understand what real roleplay is, but that's different conversation. Yeah. We had a whole discussion on this before, but I've done in-game roleplay, like real roleplay, and that's what kept me in the game, like beyond hours, just playing with people and enjoying myself.
And just,
but that was more real life. Yeah, like, you know, we had our own guild form, and you actually kind of got to see who people were and got to know them a little bit, and, you know, kind of like we do. We've never met each other.
Yeah, but in when I played WoW, I mean, we had guild meetups, and we went to Virginia.
Yeah,
and hung
right.
Because I was
that's a little trickier because you have to hope that you have like a local guild thing or someone who wants to organize it or.
It was
or
more,
big guild.
It was more. I was my brother or not my brother. My friend's brother was like the leader of the guild. He had a whole group he played with, and we kind of became a part of that. So we went up there to hang out with them. It was a great time.
Yeah, I bet. So, yeah, I imagine there's going to be a lot of stuff like that in this game, but also to bring in a more realistic aspect with money could be interesting.
Well, yeah, but you think about it, the UEE credit that you make in-game is as real as normal money would be to you. I mean, it can't pay your rent, but still that's money you earned in-game and you work hard for.
Right. So, yeah, so we kind of got off topic there. The hangar has the ships in it. That's really about it. But now you can do the other thing, which is just flying around.
Oh, the Arena Commander, quote-unquote, dogfighting module. If anybody follows Star Citizen, you know exactly what this is. But they released it out all at once to everybody just to do a free for the alpha backers got access, and we had to pay $5 for an Arena Commander pass.
Which we did just for you guys, so we could talk about it.
Exactly. It came out
well,
for every.
I did anyway.
Well, I did it anyway because I didn't want to sit in a fucking hangar and not be able to fly my ship.
Yeah, I know. I at least wanted to see what it was like to fly around a little bit, which it's cool to fly around, but I definitely want some actual controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the mouse is a little finicky, and yeah, I want to play this game with an Oculus Rift, and I want to play it with two joysticks and maybe a gamepad for when I'm walking around.
And maybe
that's
some
what
foot
I want.
Pedals.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I don't care as much about the foot pedals, but that would be cool.
It would, but yeah, it was released because they were kept pushing back the deadline, so it was released all at once with just the Vanduul Swarm, which is like the main alien race that we don't know why we hate, but we do. And there's a whole separate way we can go off on this with the
we
community.
Hate them because they're not like us. That's how it always is with humans. Because
we're humans.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and
you
then,
suck.
And a free flight mode, which is all single player. And then they started progressively releasing multiplayer, capture the flag, team deathmatch, and free for all deathmatch.
Which I didn't try, but I feel like I'd be a little scared to just because of how wonky it is.
It is pretty wonky. I mean, it's
like
still,
I feel like the people who have the joystick and stuff, are they going to be fucking wrecking?
It's still a little, it's still an alpha. But they,
it's definitely still alpha.
Yeah, from backer or citizen number. So if you were the first guy to back the game, then you were the first guy to get in multiplayer. I played multiplayer. My computer still unfortunately can't really handle their hard, rigid alpha graphics, but it is going to be a very...
Hopefully they'll smooth it out.
Resource intensive game. Like, I bet with the $50 million in backers they have, I guarantee people are going to have to buy new computers just to play this game.
Or at least upgrade their current ones, yeah.
Or upgrade, yeah. I mean, my graphics card is still better than their minimum requirements by far, but it's still not playing it as fluid as I would like. But I know I'll be able to play it because I played ArcheAge, which is on the same CryEngine, great.
Right, right.
And it's just, it's an alpha, so when I first started it was still like the first alpha release, and it was choppy. I couldn't fly very well. Granted, I'm not a very good pilot in game anyway, but I couldn't, it was all blocky, and I just I was upset with it until we decided we'd do this for our podcast, and then I played it again, and it was fun. I actually killed some Vanduul and the Vanduul Swarm, and it was fun finally being able to learn all the controls.
I didn't think it'd be so fun, but to like fly around and crash into something and see your ship take damage and be affected by that, like that is really cool.
Like I figured out how to go into third person after my third swarm or third wave of Vanduul, and I was like, Jesus Christ, there's parts of my ship missing, and it was awesome.
Yeah, third person is cool to look at, but not cool flying. You got to be in first person to fly, which is weird for a game. That doesn't happen very often.
And this is a strictly first person game, but it makes it more immersive, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It's really cool.
Sitting in the cockpit and looking around at all the HUDs you have, and even though you got that helmet on, which you're going to take away because most ships have their own separate heads-up displays, it's just so detailed and so immersive. Like, the amount of work they've done in just the ships alone is ridiculous.
So, that's pretty much the game. Again, it's an alpha. They're going to be adding more and more modules. I hope by maybe, Christmas, or at least, sometime early next year, we'll start seeing them gearing up for an actual beta release, which would be nice.
Well, that's essentially
like an actual game to play.
But all these modules are going to be part of the game. Yeah. Eventually.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. The combat module is cool, but I'm not going to be playing this game for combat modules. I'm going to be playing this game to do trade routes and on occasion get into battles or, be whatever the hell we want. Like,
I
want
to be a smuggler.
Like what I say, be an outlaw.
Yeah.
So not necessarily a bad guy, but just flying on your own, doing whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
With your own set of codes.
Like the Crew of the Serenity.
Or Outlaw Star.
Or
I've seen Outlaw Star.
Han Solo.
Han Solo could be considered, I think, an outlaw.
Yeah, he's a smuggler.
He's a smuggler, but I think outlaw is another good term, too. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely primarily a smuggler. That's what he does. That's what he focuses on. Outlaws are more, I'll do whatever the hell you want me to do.
Or
you
do
need
whatever
someone
to
tow your ship.
That's more of a mercenary.
Or you need a tugboat? I'll be a tugboat. You need me to defend your ship while we're traveling through this place? I'll defend your ship.
That sounds like more of a mercenary. An outlaw would just do anything to keep food on the table.
A mercenary... Well, that's what I mean. An outlaw, again, will do anything. A mercenary specifically is paid for his services. An outlaw is like, well, I'll take that for this. Like, they'll trade. They'll do anything.
Yeah. They'll do anything, exactly. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be
outside the law, too.
Yeah. There's no gray area.
Yeah.
It's all gray area.
I don't know if I'd recommend going into it like we did. It's still very early, and it's in that stage where it's hyped up so much that it could easily fail and we don't see it at all.
It is really hyped up. I mean, I looked at it like probably a year ago and I was like, oh, this would be pretty cool. It looked like it, just the website alone was too much. Like, I didn't understand what was going on. And then about 6 months ago, I was like, fuck it. I'm going
but,
to.
But definitely a game to look out for. If you got a Google alert, keep up on its info. It's going to be a really good game, I think, and I think it's going to pair really well with the virtual rally headsets coming out. So it's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be one of the main contenders for virtual reality games out there.
It's just going to be a main contender for a lot of games. Only PC. That's a big thing to remember. So all the console guys, sorry about it, but you're never going to play it unless
so
you
it won't
buy a PC.
It won't work on the PlayStation. I don't know what the hell is that thing called. Morpheus.
It's strictly for PC there.
And Linux.
A PlayStation 4 and Xbox One could not handle this game.
Yep. So yeah, there you go. So I think we mentioned everything about that game. Yeah,
oh no, we've not mentioned anything.
Well, everything that's important
for what
this.
We
wanted
to talk about. Yes.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to our main topics, which we're going to do a mixture of a little bit of PAX. We'll get more in depth about PAX next week again because we'll have Brian, but we'll talk a little bit about some of the big stuff. We'll talk about Labor Day and some Labor Day sales, which there's a lot of apparently after I looked it up. I didn't think there was going to be so much. So, so we're gonna start talking about PAX. And since we're talking about multiplayer games, and you mentioned ArcheAge, we're gonna talk about the ArcheAge announcement.
Oh yeah.
And it's releasing or launching September 16th.
So really so, already?
Yeah, super early. Super early.
Well, it's the same with.
I was thinking October, maybe November. Right. You know, because we've been playing the betas, but all of a sudden, here it is.
I was thinking next year, like early next year, first quarter, maybe.
I didn't think it was going to take that
but
long.
But then I realized it was basically just a revamp of a Korean game.
Right, it's with a lot of stuff changes and stuff. So that was announced at PAX.
Well, it's just like,
I'm excited.
That's just like Civilization V After Earth. That was supposed to come out in the middle of next year, and now it's coming out October.
Yeah.
It's a surprise.
Yeah, so... One thing I'm still trying to, you know, I'm not 100% sure on. I don't know if we're going to find out yet. Maybe we'll find out within the next couple of days on how the pricing is going to work out. But I'm still very curious. I think it's going to be free to download and free to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. If it is, we'll definitely be playing it. We'll do another game of the week on it of the actual final version. But
it's probably
going
to
really
be
hoping.
Pay to download, but not. It might
know.
Be free to play. A lot of games are going
free to
play.
I've heard some things. And there's not a lot of information on it, so there's no way to know.
And then, or it could be like WildStar, where you it's a subscription base, but if you make enough money in game, you can pay your subscription
right.
with game currency.
Yeah, I'm very interested to find out what that's going to entail.
Mm-hmm.
If it's you know, again, you have to pay to be able to get like houses and stuff or land, which
right.
you know. Is okay, you know, if you're like, especially in our case, we're going to do something where we're going to guild up, and then, you know, one of us, or maybe you can even pay as a group or something. It depends on how the pricing thing works out. But at the very least, like, one of us will pay for it. Maybe we'll all chip in, and then we'll just use that account to pay for, like, land and stuff.
Right.
And get land for a guild house and stuff. We'll figure that out, but if it's definitely, free to download, we're probably all going to be jumping into that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely.
It's not my favorite MMO, but it's a good one. I'm not a big fan of Korean MMOs because they're
all
kind
of. Well, I like them,
but
it's definitely
fun.
Cool though.
It's fun to play, and it's especially even in the betas, it's been fun.
Yeah, at least until EverQuest next comes out, we can see what that one's gonna be like.
Mm-hmm.
But that one seems like it's taken. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard, but we're not talking about that. There's no info on EverQuest next at PAX this year, as far as I know.
There may be. Maybe we're releasing stuff right now.
Yeah. So we also got some other games. What are some of these other games? Borderlands, the pre-sequel?
The pre-sequel.
Pre-sequel.
Sorry, I didn't.
That's stupid.
Well,
so it's like it's before the sequel, but after the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's weird.
It's...
They couldn't just make one before it?
Well, it's a quirky game. It always has been. It's a fun.
So this is them just being weird. Then?
Yeah, it's kind of like Saints Row. I mean, that's a really quirky game, and
yeah,
people love it, and people love Borderlands. I didn't think I'd like it until I played Borderlands 2 last Christmas, and I loved it. It was very fun to play. It's a fun, easy MMO, or not MMO, but a first person shooter that has a lot of RPG qualities in it, which was awesome.
Right. So this game's already out then. It's just they're adding four add-ons to it. Is that it?
No, it releases for October 14th.
Well, because it says Borderlands, the pre-sequel to receive four add-on season pass. That's
well, yeah, already had the release date. I just wanted to talk about it since it was part of that.
I gotcha.
Yeah, the four add-ons are coming. That's what they announced. But the Borderlands, the pre-sequel, releases October 17th internationally, 14th
gotcha.
In North America. For
is
PC,
that a little early
Xbox,
to be talking about add-ons?
What's that?
Shouldn't add-ons come after the game has started?
No, their add-ons are probably like costumes or maybe like a new character or something, or maybe even...
Yeah.
Or you can always
no,
just
I
do
gotcha.
This, what they've always done is a season pass where you can get it all, which is awesome.
Right. Let's see what else we got. We got Rift Nightmare Tide.
Ooh, yes, Rift. That's
I know
always...
what Rift is. I've never... I don't think I've ever played it. No.
Downloaded it and I never actually played it. I downloaded the demo just to try it out because I was looking for a new MMO. But this took over the MMO world for like, I want to say a couple months, and then it kind of died out.
Yeah.
And now bringing Nightmare Tide back to just kind of reboot it and bring people back. And this is supposedly supposed to change the entire game.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So there's, yeah. Because I remember hearing about it, but then it disappeared instantly, like right after I heard about it.
Yeah, yeah. I see it here and there, but it was...
Yeah.
It's...
Cool, cool. I don't know. Yeah. We also got a new 3DS coming out. It's a large version, much like the DS when it came out with the XL version. It's mm-hmm. kind of that same idea. It's a bigger version of the 3DS, which might mean in the same case, like, you know how they came out with the XL version and then like a month later they came out with the 3DS, which mm-hmm. was stupid because I had bought that stupid XL, and if I knew the 3DS was coming out, I would have bought that.
Right.
So I'd hope they don't do that same thing because that pissed me the F off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if they, you know, I don't think they have any, I don't think there's been any hints of anything coming out after the 3DS. So chances are that's going to be.
Are they going to do a 4DS or a virtual reality DS?
I don't see them getting into virtual reality. I just see them as making it better or more, maybe, you know, more interactive. Like it can connect to your TV mm-hmm. or stuff
maybe
like that.
Or maybe a Wii U.
Without needing a Wii. It just connects to the TV. Mm-hmm. That could be cool.
It could be. But Brian's probably got some hands-on with that, so he'll talk
yeah,
about
so
that.
Yeah, so he'll let us know next week. He actually got to play it, I think. I think he said he actually got to play it, or at least he saw it.
Yeah, and so, I know he's played the new Super yeah. Smash Brothers for the Wii. Or not the yeah. Wii, sorry, the 3DS.
So he'll tell us how it feels in his hands
yep.
and all that good stuff. And then what we got? Some indie games going
on? Yeah, there's
on
just
here?
Five new indie games. One actually is from... branched off from a couple developers at Blizzard.
Yeah, and I never played indie games.
I mean, yeah, you have.
Have I?
Yeah, just about every free to play game we play on Steam is indie. If you think oh. about it, Rift was in, or not Rift, but Rust was indie games.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, indie's just an independent developer. Hell, fucking Star Citizen is an indie game.
Yeah. So there's some indie games here that they talk about. I don't know which ones Brian's seen, because he said he was really interested in the indie games this year, so...
Oh, well, he might have seen all
of these. I'm curious to see which ones he liked. Yeah, I'm curious to see which ones he liked the best out of these. But we got Galaxy, Interstellar, something like that. We've got Salt and Sanctuary, The Next Penelope, and it said 5. Did I read them all?
You skipped a couple of them.
Did I?
Oh, yeah, there's Berserkers, which is the one by Activision. Or
oh, yeah,
by
there
veterans
it is.
Of Blizzard Entertainment, Riot Games, Activision, and Certain Affinity. It's yeah. a team-based multiplayer melee combat game with a set in a Viking afterlife.
I don't care.
It's like Chivalry, but more cartoony, kind of like Team Fortress, I guess.
I don't care. No, I care a little bit.
And then there's, all right. Yeah, there's
it
always,
looks cool.
Those side-scroller like, indie games yeah, that people seem to love for some reason.
Yeah, that one looks like a weird snaky thing. And oh yeah, like it's that game that little people. No, it's not little people,
Terraria?
But the characters are really tiny. No, not Terraria. It came out before Terraria. Now they're coming out with a second version of it. That's more 3D-ish.
Is it that one where it's like an RPG with side-scrolling?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
what's it called?
I don't remember.
MapleStory.
MapleStory,
yes.
Yeah. I knew
Maple
it was
Story
like
was
Oak
huge.
Story or something like that.
My brother played that game for like a good year or two. Like MapleStory was huge.
Yeah, I could never. I've never been a fan of side scrollers of any sort.
No,
except
me,
like the older
me neither.
Mario games.
Or like Terraria. They're cool.
I didn't even like Terraria.
They have their appeal, but meh.
They're so much better.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to Labor Day. So I wanted to give a little bit of a background of Labor Day since, you know, we're talking about it instead of just going on to game sales. So I got this description off of Wiki, and I learned some stuff, so that's cool. So in the United States, it's a holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September. It's a celebration, of the American labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of workers. Blah, 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 blah. I don't mean to bore people. pro-workers. It was promoted by the Central Labor Union and the Knights of Labor, which I've never heard of before. I guess that's a real thing. Knights of Labor. I wonder if they're still active. They organized a parade in New York City. There was the Haymarket Massacre, which occurred in Chicago. And after all that, President Cleveland, he wasn't sure, you know, it would become something worse, so he made it a national holiday. And so now, yeah, first Monday in September, it's a no work day unless you work at Walmart, probably Best Buy,
or anywhere that
Home Depot. Pretty much your normal consumer type stores are going to be open, but a lot of your specialty stores, a lot of your not restaurants, really a lot of stuff is still open.
A lot of blue collar
like desk jobs, yeah, a lot of stuff like that.
Hit the bank
most
holiday.
Workplaces like oil changes,
schools.
All that kind of stuff is closed. Schools, yeah, I got no school tomorrow.
Some like,
I got no school today. I'm enjoying it.
Some parts department people or parts places close early. It's just.
Yep. UPS, fucking, the post office, all those places are closed. Mm-hmm. All government, anything is closed.
Except corrections officers and police. And the fire department, of course.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, that's Labor Day. It's
but
a good
the really
day.
Thing
it's
that
usually
matters.
Also a good day for sales.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to, like furniture and stuff. Labor Day always seems to be a huge day
for
furniture.
Or car sales.
Or car sales, even, yeah.
Or even
but we're
sales.
Talking about games, yeah.
Games, video games, yeah.
So, yeah, what's that first one?
The Call of Duty franchise sale?
Yeah, Call of Duty franchise. Franchise being any Call of Duty anything.
50% off everything. It all must go.
50%. So by the time you're hearing this, if you didn't know about it, you still probably got a few hours because this usually goes up before the end of the day. So if you want to get yourselves hands on a Call of Duty game, 50% off of everything. I think that includes add-ons and stuff. And
well, I'm sure it does. That's everything. Everything Call of Duty. I mean, it's a horrible game in my opinion, but play it. Fuck it.
Yep. The other one is Microsoft Studios weekend sale, up to 80% off their entire catalog, which includes Age of Empires, 75% off, Age of Mythology, 50% off, Fable Anniversary, 20%
off. That's not even out yet. That's just off the pre-release. Price.
Yep. So, keep that in mind. It says up to 80% off entire catalog. There's probably only one thing that's 80% off.
And that's already a $5 game.
Yep. So keep, but lots of good deals. Age of Empires, Age of Mythology. I've never played Age of Mythology, but I know I would enjoy it. And 50% is a good deal.
Yeah. Well, Age of Mythology and Age of Empires are both amazing games. I mean,
yeah,
it's $9
Fable
now
before.
For Age of Empires.
Fable's fun. Fable Anniversary, I guess that's just what. Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
Enjoy all the Fableness that's ever happened, right?
I don't know. Because Fable is only good the first one, and then the expansion of the first one. The rest just kind of went downhill instantly.
Right.
But it's always a game I'll buy and play because I love the Fable franchise. I always have.
Yeah, it's a fun, simple game. That's an RPG, pretty much.
It was one of the first RPGs I ever played.
Yeah. Well, not me. I'm a little older than you, but.
One of the first.
Yeah.
Big RPGs ever played.
Yeah, I didn't hear about Fable until I was in my late teens, so.
Yeah, that's when I heard about it.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's your main stores, Best Buy, which is obviously, people don't go to stores very often, but if you are going to go to a store to buy a video game, I would like to think Best Buy is one of your top choices besides Walmart.
Or GameStop.
They're doing a four-day sale. Yeah, they're doing a four-day sale on video games.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a four-day sale for everything. But when I looked it up, it said video games. I don't know. What do you think about that, Best Buy?
I don't know. I don't usually buy hard copies of games. When I play console, I would go to Best Buy or GameStop, whichever had the better price, or whichever is closer. But I hardly go there, unless I'm buying, a new computer, maybe, for somebody
else,
not for me, because I'll build mine. But
so, speaking of GameStop, it looks like they are having a Labor Day sale, but they're not really promoting it hardcore, so I don't know what's on sale. That's really going to a store and see what's up.
Right.
So that's going to be kind of a toss-up. I imagine you probably actually specific stores might have sales on different things. So, go check that out. I mean, unfortunately GameStop is turning into something else, but it's still Game Store for now.
What is it turning into?
I remember it was a few weeks ago or a couple months ago. They were talking about how GameStop was bought out by somebody or something, or they were closing stores and focusing more online or something like that.
Well, that's what everybody's doing.
Or maybe it was they were gonna stop selling used games after a while. It was something stupid that made GameStop what it is, and it was changing what they were to the man, pretty much.
Yeah, but
turning GameStop into the man.
PC gamers don't have to worry about that because fuck it, we can download it on Steam or yeah. any other website or even the horrible.
Well, of course,
Origin.
So that's changing for PlayStation, Xbox too. Most of those games are online now.
Yeah.
Downloads and stuff. So
I always on my Xbox. When I played Xbox, I always got games online because I was too lazy to walk out the door and go buy it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, you know, go check out Labor Day sales. If you go any pretty much anywhere, you're gonna find some Labor Day sales. But specifically those places, I have a lot of game sales for you. So Steam being the best for sure. If you're into those particular type of games anyway, there's lots of other random sales on Steam, not just those, but those are like the main ones they're promoting right now. So.
Well, there's always sales on Steam.
Yeah, but they'll definitely, at least up until the end of Labor Day, they should have a few left over. So. So yeah, let's we're gonna go ahead and get into Doctor Who episode 2, Into All the right. Dalek. I said it correctly that time.
You did.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give a quick little description, and then we'll go ahead and get into it. And yeah, so Danny Pink, which is an interesting name, a colleague of Clara's at Coal Hill School, which struggles with his past military history. I was kind of hoping for some flashbacks. I was kind of hoping for a little bit more than just him.
He supposedly killed somebody.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm sure that'll come. I was just hoping for at least a little bit more of a sneak peek. While also to ask her out on a date. Struggles with asking her on a date, which really isn't what happened.
Yeah,
I think he struggled to respond to her asking him on a date. Like, he had trouble just, you know, saying yes.
Yeah.
Not asking her out in the first place. I don't think he would have ever done that.
No, she was more the forward person in the situation.
Yeah, which was hilarious.
Which
but,
I was kind of upset at because...
No, I enjoyed that, but continuing on. But the doctor takes her away to a resistance base, a resistance ship, really. Not. Well, I guess it is a base because it's attached. Anyway, along with a small team, they get shrunk down, which is cool, and put inside the Dalek, where they battle Dalek antibodies as they search to discover the answers to why it was turned good. So, why do you think it wasn't cool that she initiated the asking out?
Well, I always never liked a companion, a female companion, to be in a relationship, because I always kind of want to see the doctor and the companion maybe hit it off once.
But they did so good with the other two.
They did, but I never liked it. Like, I always wanted Rose to be with the doctor. I always wanted Amy to be with the doctor. But that's just
not Rose, but Amy specifically. Her and Rory.
I'm just
that
saying.
It was good.
They were.
It was good.
I didn't like Rory in the beginning, but I loved it. But that's irrelevant.
Yeah, when he became the soldier guy, the Sentinel.
Yeah.
Like, after he became the Sentinel, he became a lot more badass.
Yeah.
But I understand that. But now he's super old, and we know that's not going to happen.
It could still happen. Who cares if he's old?
It's not going to happen. He is there to help push her up now. He's not there to be her boyfriend. He made that clear in the first episode. He's not her boyfriend. He's going to be there as more of a mentor.
Right.
Which he is. In this episode, we saw that too.
But he always has been.
Well, no. In this case, he's being more.
Right.
Like, you know, when in the episode when they're in the thing and the radiation's leaking. And he's pretty much given up. She's the one that comes up with the idea.
Yep.
Well, not really the idea, but, you know, the inspiration.
Well, he's still struggling with demons anyway, and that kind of
right.
hit him hard.
So in this case, though, like, she's taking more control and being like, we didn't learn just that. And it's like, oh, you're right. And then the part where she has to get up. Upstairs and they're like to turn on some stuff. And he's like, do something clever. Like, the old doctor would have never have done that. The old doctor would have. This one's like, do something clever. It's your job.
Mm-hmm.
Get on with it. Like, so it's definitely more of a mentor type thing where it's like, I've given you everything you need at this point. I'm just gonna let you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like. So it's not. I don't think it could ever be a boyfriend girlfriend, especially since they've introduced this lady who keeps calling him her boyfriend. I don't know where that's going.
Oh, the one who's
might...
like, oh, welcome to heaven. I feel like she's gonna be the next main enemy.
Yeah,
or that might be
or...
a new master. Maybe, he's back.
Yeah, no one knows. So,
it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, so I don't think there's gonna be a love interest. So the fact that they're introducing a love interest for her, I think is gonna work. And who's to say they might not fall in love and they just be both companions and it's, you know, because I don't want them to do a Rory thing again. I don't want it to be just like that. Right.
Relationship.
I mean, it was good,
yeah.
But you know, they went all the way, like married, kids. They went all out with those two
kids. gave birth kid. To a half Time Lord.
And I'm sure they had kids in the past. They never actually said it when they were reading the book, but I'm sure they lived their lives and maybe had some kids.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, so the episode, I'm trying to think of, the episode starts off, I gotta go inside a Dalek, or this is a good Dalek. It's definitely an episode of good versus evil, or the idea of what good is and the idea of what evil is.
Or the idea that a Dalek could even be good, which
yeah,
the poison stopped it from being good.
Yeah, it's very interesting, especially at the end when, the Dalek's like, I'm not a good Dalek, but you're a good Dalek.
Yeah. I feel like that really hit him.
Obviously he didn't mean he was a Dalek. That's just the only thing he can,
I think that meant
he meant like you're a good person.
No. I think that meant that he knows how much hate the Doctor has for the Daleks. Yeah. And the Daleks are fueled by hate. So I think that was a stab.
He like saw him as a Dalek.
You're full of hate. You'd be a good Dalek.
But you're a good Dalek, not like me.
No, I feel like
even though I'm against the Daleks, I'm a bad Dalek.
I don't know. That was kind of up for interpretation on whether or not he.
I don't think so.
Good isn't like a good and evil, or good is like a very like he'd be a good Dalek, like a good.
I think he meant good in terms of good and evil, because that's what the entire episode was about.
I don't know. I felt like he meant good as in like a good killer, good killing Dalek.
I don't know.
That's how I took it.
Yeah, but then.
But then when you said that, that makes sense too.
Right, because right before he said you're a good Dalek, he was asking him about being good and evil. They were talking about good and evil. Mm-hmm. The second before the Dalek said, I'm not a good Dalek, you're a good Dalek.
Yeah, I know what you mean, how Dalek just like the reference.
If he meant it as in like you're a good Dalek in terms of being a Dalek in general, mm-hmm. and being filled with hate, then he would see him as his enemy because he hates the Daleks.
That's true, but the Doctor was full of hate and hate for the Daleks, and that's why the Dalek turned not
so then wouldn't he think Dalek. He's the same as a Dalek and not so that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely more about good and evil because of how they said everything.
And I feel like that whole line will be talked about through the community and torn apart.
Yeah.
And somebody will give a better answer than what we have.
But yeah, especially like when after the Dalek said that and she kinda like nudged him a little bit and kinda gave him a look, like, yeah, that answers your question. Kind of, even though later on she's like, I don't know if you're good or bad.
Nobody
but
does.
You're trying to be a good person, and that's what matters. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you're trying to be a good person, then that's, whatever else happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
I don't know. He's Capaldi's going to be interesting. I'm enjoying.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the not silliness as much. Like he sits her down. He's like, I need you to be straight with me. I need you to be a bro or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, am I a good person? And it's like, jeez. And he's being completely serious. It's like, I like this side of the Doctor.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, I mean, don't get serious, me wrong.
Like, very, like, older Doctor, really. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I still miss the really odd, quirky, witty Matt Smith and David
Tennant. We still get a little bit of that.
Yeah, but
like, when
really
he's making fun of Clara.
What's that?
Like when she's like, well, don't say something silly about my hips or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, you got hips built like a man.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. I love these little quips he keeps sending at her.
Yeah. He's hilarious. Fun. I'm definitely enjoying Capaldi.
Yeah.
I was surprised. It was kind of iffy. I'm never really good with the regenerations, though. I'm always like, damn, I really wish it didn't happen. But then I get really into it and it's like, this is awesome. This is the best.
Right,
and I feel
right.
like that's going to happen again.
Yeah, yeah. The Dalek, they fix him. Then he starts killing and they fix him again. Eventually the Dalek, he saves the ship, and he says he's got to leave and rejoin them so he can kill them all.
Yeah, but I thought it was funny how the inside of the Dalek after they were shrunk down, which is pretty fucking cool.
Right.
How the inside of the Dalek looked like it'd be a spaceship. Like, it was meant for people to crawl around in there. I thought it was funny.
That's pretty much what it is, though, right? I mean, the Dalek has always been a little squishy blob thing inside the tin can.
Yeah, but the rest of it is, like, all the areas they went and all the tubes and everything. I feel like that was too... I feel like they should have made it more like it was a human body, which essentially it was. and not as much like a spaceship, like with corridors and panels that you could open up. I don't feel like that would be really make any sense to even repairing a Dalek suit, taking out that whole panel, but it might.
I think that makes sense for those antibodies.
That did make sense, yes.
Which would be pretty much considered nanobots.
Uh-huh.
Which nanobots would need access panels to be able to go into and do stuff with.
I guess that makes sense if you look at it like that. I just thought it was like funny how ship-like.
They didn't show any kind of repair nanobots. They only ever showed the antibodies. But I imagine those kind of robots existed, just they couldn't fix the radiation problem.
Right.
Like cancer, like you just can't beat it. In that case, the doctor actually had to go in and fix the problem at its source.
And then it instantly turned him back to being evil.
Yep. But then, they showed it its memories because it was suppressing them or whatever. And yay, day saved. They're all the kids back to the ship, which will be interesting because we're going to see him again, I bet. It's going to, the Daleks are going to be getting destroyed here and there, and people are going to be like, what's going on? And maybe he'll even get some Daleks to join his side because he really only has to show them, that the universe is infinite.
Right.
And Daleks might change their minds.
Or hell, even copy that memory cell and give it to all the other Daleks.
Right. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that in the future. I'm hoping we see more of that and it wasn't just, that happened and we never see it again.
Yeah. And then there's even, I don't know if you noticed, but how he's so against soldiers now. I mean, he was before, but now he's really against them. Like, he won't even take a soldier before, with him.
Yeah, but now he's definitely a little
bit more vocal about it.
I think it's the same amount of not liking soldiers as he ever had before, but now he's more blatantly obvious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's his personality now.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more rude. Like, he's Scottish. Trying not to be rude, but he's, So, it's definitely, that definitely has to do because of his personality, and I think he's just always hated soldiers. But he respects them.
Right.
Like, when he's talking about, crimes for us civilians is how we communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he understands the soldier's role.
Right.
He doesn't like it, but he understands it and respects it.
Well, if you think
I think
about
that's going to come into play with this new companion.
Well,
I think that's going to come into play because he's not going to necessarily like him, but he's also, he's a veteran. He's not actually a soldier anymore, and so he's going to be like a broken soldier. And I think that's going to be more interesting for the doctor to be a part of.
But still, if you think about it, it wasn't too long ago that, even though not in his timeline, but in recent events through the episodes where he was the soldier, and he may still be sore about that whole situation. That might be why it's brought up.
But he's come to peace with it, though.
Yeah, not necessarily. He's still.
Well, when you're about to push the button with your soldier self, you've come to peace with the fact that you destroyed your entire civilization.
That's true, but it's still going to bother him. I'm sure that's why there's more.
No, definitely.
That's why there's more emphasis, because he's still kind of raw about it, because he was just there with his...
And he just did, be the soldier, too. Because that's how he originally died, was on that planet, and that he died a soldier's death.
He did.
But this time he didn't.
He died fighting a war.
Right.
And then he even died fighting a war on Trendelor with Handles and fighting the Cybermen and the clergy. That was kind of a war.
That's how. So that's pretty much it. They finish up the episode. She goes on a date with the guy.
Yeah.
Or she was about to go on a date with the guy or something because she had changed. I think he's got some issues. I think that's going to be a cool companion.
I think he might not be human.
You don't think he's human?
I think he might not be human. I think he might be working with... I feel like he might be working with that weird lady.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. You just like the way... Just the way he acts and looks, I feel like he might not be... He might not know it. He might be like...
He acts like a soldier who killed civilians.
Well, yeah. But he might be... I feel like he... I want to say he might be working against them. Because he's new.
Maybe.
And coincidences like pink and blue never really happen unless it means something. So he might be completely normal and just a new companion, or he might be working against the doctor for all we know.
Yeah, we'll see. And then they showed the little trailer at the end for the next episode, which I've already forgotten. Robin Hood. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, Robin Hood's going to be fun. I'm definitely looking forward to next
week. It's like, Robin Hood didn't exist, and then the arrow hits the TARDIS.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, I did. I'm awesome.
it's going to be a fun episode. I'm looking forward to
that. And I guess Clara takes on the role of Maid Marian, so that'll be interesting to see her all dressed up.
Yes, it will.
Cool. So that's about it that we have today. Again, next week we'll have Brian with more information on PAX.
On PAX, yeah, and more Doctor Who talk.
we'll have some new games, because hopefully he's going to be bringing back some beta keys and stuff.
Yeah,
so
you said they're kind of stingy on beta keys this year.
Yeah, well, I think he's being stingy on us.
He might be a bastard.
Yeah, we got another Doctor Who episode next week, right? They're not skipping a weekend or anything?
No, I'm pretty sure there's one next week. If not, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, well, I think, no, it's not starting up yet, but hopefully, you know, when it comes to missing out episodes, we'll have The Flash to talk about.
Yes, I gotta start watching it.
Yeah. So, if you are at PAX right now, which I think actually does, the last day is Monday, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're at PAX or you're just finished up with PAX when you're, you know, reading this and you're actually, or listening to this and you're actually listening to us, you know, send us some tweets about maybe some pictures and stuff of what you were doing and what was happening and whatnot. That'd be cool.
That'll be our PAX swag since we weren't lucky enough to go.
Yeah. And of course, if you have any suggestions for games, maybe games that were mentioned at PAX, if you have any suggestions for any topics, go ahead and tweet us at Avalon Pending. Yep. You can always go check our website, avalonpending.com, blah, 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 links and whatnot. Subscribe to us. This is our 7th episode. We don't have a lot of people following us, if any. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't looked in a while. I like to hope there's people listening. If you're listening to us, please get on Twitter and let us know so we don't feel completely useless. Because I'm not.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. I don't, you know, if we keep going, I think if we hit 10 episodes and we really haven't gotten anywhere, you know, with it, you know, you never know what happens.
We might move them to monthly things.
Yeah, or something else. So, but don't worry about that. Thanks for listening to us. You know, we'll have a good time. We'll see you next week. Thanks for being here, Josh.
Yep, anytime.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll see you more often since we're doing Doctor Who now.
Oh yeah, you'll probably see me next week and the week after. All right. I would have been on last week, but things came up.
Yeah. No, it's fine. So yeah, that's everything. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.